Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Vegas Nation podcast brought to you by STN Sports Mobile, by Station Casinos, and presented to you on the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, joined with our writers here on the Raiders beat, Miles Simmons, Vinny Bonsignor, and Adam Hill. Today, we are going to present a mock draft here on this show, going through the first round of what the Raiders have, which is the 12 and the 19 pick. This is your source for everything Raiders, fast takes, smart coverage. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you are listening. Follow us on social media at Vegas Nation. Download the Vegas Nation app today to keep up with everything happening with your Raiders. And this is where you're going to find daily shows up until the NFL draft on April 23rd. We will be coming to you every afternoon. So hit VegasNation.com to find everything that we are doing with these podcasts. So we have some moves first here with the Raiders that we have to get into. The first of the agreed upon terms to fall apart was Eli Apple, the cornerback out of the Saints, who is formerly with the Giants as well. He is not signed with the Raiders. He's back into free agency market. So Vinny, what was the issue here? What do we know about why Eli Apple didn't come and sign on with the Raiders?
Yeah, from what I have been able to gather, it was related to the physical. Now, I'm not sure if something showed up on the physical, if they weren't able to come together on the physical, but it was physical related. And I think we've already seen this with Michael Brockers, who had agreed to move on to the Baltimore Ravens from the Los Angeles Rams, but there was an issue with his physical. I think there was an ankle injury, something along those lines, but he ended up bouncing back to the Rams. And I think you're going to see a little bit of this because teams right now are not allowed to bring players in for face-to-face, visits with their medical people. For the time being, you have to kind of rely on, third-party doctors to conduct, the physicals, but teams are still leaving room, at some point you still need to see our doctor. And there are some teams that are writing into the contracts, if you fail our physical, maybe your signing bonus gets negated or the contract gets altered. Or in the Raiders' case, I don't know exactly what happened with the physical, but there was an issue. And as a result, an agreed upon deal fell apart and Eli Apple is back on the market and the Raiders are moving on.
So, Miles, when you look at the free agent market right now, when you see who may be remaining in the landscape right now, I mean, there's not many people. And I think one of them that is left, I think Logan Ryan is still out there. He was a former Patriot. But even so, he wants a ton of money for just playing a year. I think 2019, he's asking about $10 million. So who else is out there that the Raiders may go after in light of Eli Apple being back out in the market?
Well, you know what? I'd almost tend to think, Heidi, that they would go after somebody in the draft rather than in free agency. I think, based on what they've done already, and especially, and I know we're going to talk about him in a bit, but after you pick up somebody like Demaryius Randall, it stands to reason to me that they would be more apt to go after a rookie and try to put him in their system and try to train him up and pair him with Trayvon Mullen for years to come rather than maybe getting a short-term stopgap. I mean, certainly there are still guys out there, but I just think that based on the way things have gone so far, it might be more of a draft situation than it is free agency situation.
Sounds like Miles is tipping his hand a little bit on where he might be headed in the mock draft.
Maybe.
And that's why I'm really excited to have Adam on today, because you have been doing this for the paper. You're already up through your third version of the NFL draft. So we aren't going to quite get into it quite yet, but the Raiders did bring on Demarius Randall. So Adam, like Miles was alluding to, if you do have a guy like Demarius Randall, who is a safety out of Cleveland, now signed to a one-year deal worth $3.25, that was according to what I saw on the NFL Network. Now, what do you think he brings into the table, and how would it shake things up for you if you're looking to draft in the another position in the secondary?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player, a guy with a ton of talent who we'll see how he works out in the system. But I think he provides a guy that you're confident in putting out there on the field. And I will say that it did change my approach in the mock draft. We'll get into exactly where I have the Raiders going, but I actually thought where they were and how the draft could shake up. I had them taking Xavier McKinney from Alabama, who is a very, very talented player who I believe will start to fall a little bit just because teams don't invest heavily in safety necessarily unless there's just a slam dunk guy. He's the best available safety in the draft, and I had the Raiders taking a shot at him, and I thought he's a guy that could play a really impactful role for years to come. But then if you bring Randall in, I don't know if you have that need anymore. So it did change my philosophy on the Raiders and several other teams and how it shook out in the second half of the first round to bring in a guy like Demarius Randall. And now you're looking at different spots. So I do think he comes in here and is a good player for them. And I think it does change their whole approach.
So Vinny, you had mentioned how the situations have really changed with this whole COVID-19 virus, the coronavirus that has swept the globe. I mean, a lot of guys have brought in their own doctors, which they can do, but it does take away from that ability of a team to evaluate, even though I think some of these facilities were still allowed to leave behind trainers, but only if they were working with somebody already on the team. So, I mean, when you start to look over the landscape of how this can work out with draft picks, I mean, what do you think the NFL does going forward when you look at how they may be able to evaluate all the players from a medical standpoint?
Well, for the rookies, the one good thing is they got the scouting combine in, they got the Senior Bowl in, but primarily the scouting combine. And that's where, the vast majority of medical information is exchanged and looked at. So you had that already for the rookies. For the free agents, you're taking a bit of a leap of faith, because you can't bring guys in. By the time free agency opened, the facilities and the ability to visit with guys, whether you went there to go see them or you brought them in to come see you, that was no longer available. So a little bit of a leap of faith. Eventually, these guys are going to get in to facilities and take their official physicals. And I think at that point, we're going to see what the ramifications truly were. And we were already seeing at least a couple of cases where, and that's the ones that we fully know about with Eli Apple and Michael Brockers. There could be guys that haven't signed with anyone because there's an issue with, teams wanting to know how healthy they are. Cam Newton comes to mind. So I think it's had a pretty big effect already, and it could have an even bigger effect moving forward when these guys finally get to see team doctors.
Well, something you had wrote about just before we came on the show here was that the Raiders are now donating $1 million to Las Vegas to help fight this virus. I think that's a huge thing that they're doing here. And I can't say enough about all these teams and players that have stepped forward to do this for the different cities in need. And like Drew Brees coming forward, that was huge for the city of New Orleans. And right now, something else that I saw come across here as we were talking was that the 2024 NFL Super Bowl may be moved from the 2024 destination of New Orleans, Miles. So what do you think are the possibilities that Las Vegas actually gets that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the NFL has a ton of stuff to figure out, with their new CBA and going to 17 games. And that's sort of where the impetus for that comes from, is that, the 17 game season could make obviously the season then run later. And so what does that mean for the Super Bowl? Well, if it's in New Orleans, you have to think about how does that maybe run into Mardi Gras. And if you have Mardi Gras going on at the same time as the Super Bowl, that could be a logistical nightmare. So that's one of those things where, yeah, the NFL's got to figure out, okay, can we still hold – when does the 17-game season even start? We don't even know when that's going to be. So then how does that then affect – where the Super Bowls are, when the Super Bowls are going to be played. And yeah, I mean, if the Super Bowl has to move then from New Orleans, then yeah, it stands to reason that Las Vegas would be one of the destinations that could come into play there. So I think the NFL, like I said, has a lot to figure out. I don't know that this is particularly high on their priority list at this point, just given the fact that, you know, you don't know when or if off-season programs are going to be happen this year. You don't know exactly when or if the 2020 season is going to start getting played too. But once those things get figured out, maybe figuring out what could happen with that Super Bowl in 2024, that could be next on the list.
Adam, Mardi Gras or Super Bowl? I mean, which one are you going to if you're going to New Orleans?
I think the answer is both, right? I mean, if that's the dream. You go down there for Mardi Gras, there happens to be a Super Bowl, but yeah, that would be a logistical nightmare. So it would make a whole lot of sense.
All right.
One thing that you could do is, and it used to be back in the day where the Super Bowls would alternate either having 2 weeks off between the conference championship games or 1 week off between the conference championship game and the Super Bowl. They could do that. They could just go to a 1 week, situation between those two games. Or, you know, there's in that 17 game schedule, one of the things that they've talked about is, you know, an extra bye week in lieu of the fourth preseason game. Maybe you cut down the bye week to just 1 week. So there's things that they could do to keep it in or keep it on schedule so that it wouldn't interfere with Mardi Gras. But maybe the easy thing is, since it is so far out, we're talking, you know, 4 years away, maybe the easy thing is to push to push that to a calendar year where it would work for New Orleans and put it someplace else. But the way I see it, Mardi Gras is the same time every year, right? Am I missing something?
Well, it happens basically like Fat Tuesday is like, I believe the week before the whole Easter process starts. So Ash Wednesday, wherever that falls, is when Mardi Gras begins as Fat Tuesday. So yeah.
And so wouldn't you be running into that if you're in a 17 game schedule? Would you not be running into that every single year from this point forward?
Not necessarily, no, because Easter changes, you know.
Yes.
So that's why it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can tell you from personal experience, I have had the opportunity to be inside the Superdome during a Mardi Gras, and it was probably one of the best experiences of my lifetime. I mean, just watching everything unfold as they do it with all the fanfare and the extravaganza is really, really something to see. I mean, it was just a massive party, and I'm so glad that somebody, and her name was Mary Kay, pulled me back up off the street, because I was so like walking into the Superdome in awe of everything and all this stuff's being thrown on the street, and there are these shiny coins called doubloons, and I went to pick one up. I didn't realize it was still an active street because I just figured, oh, this stuff was thrown here from a parade and it was an active street, and she saved my life. Never forget her. Anyway, moving on to the mock draft now here on the show. We're going to start this mock draft just for the first round today. We're going to get through the number 12 and the 19 pick of our mock draft 1.0 on Vegas Nation. So Adam, I wanted to start with you because you have been putting out these different iterations in the paper of what you've been projecting for the NFL draft at the 12 spot. And I found some different interesting reads on that take that you have at the 12 spot. So let's hear your first pick here of the Raiders at the number 12 spot in the NFL draft.
So I've had the Raiders taking Jerry Jeudy in both of the first two mock drafts, but I have him gone when the Raiders select this time. So they have to kind of alter the thinking there. I do think while there's a large group of wide receivers that are, I would say, you know, first round worthy in this draft, that there's a really deep pool of very good receivers. I do think there's an elite group of three at the top. And, you know, if the Raiders have Jerry Jeudy gone, which in this one I have the Jets taking him at 11, Then you have your choice of the other two elite guys, which would be CeeDee Lamb and Henry Ruggs the third. And I think the Raiders would go CeeDee Lamb here. I just think the way that he's able to establish himself as a clear number one type of wide receiver, he has, you know, very top end skill set, just a really, really solid player. And I think he could step in. Receivers oftentimes have a tough time adjusting to the NFL, but I think he could step in and be an impactful player right away year one. So I think Judy would be the choice, but with him gone, I have CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma going to the Raiders at 12.
Vinny, I know you and I have talked, and I know that you had Jerry Jeudy top of your list, but I don't know if he's your 12th pick. So who do you have there?
He would be my 12th pick for sure. I'm with Adam, you know, three elite wide receivers, but to me, Jerry Jeudy is the most elite of those elite. I mean, I can't get enough of watching this guy on tape. He's just so spectacular. And I was talking to, an NFL general manager who told me, you know, the guy just puts on a separation clinic, and he reminds him of Isaac Bruce. In Isaac Bruce's ability to create separation, that's in the NFL, that is so huge. Being able to make yourself an open target, whether you're against press coverage or figuring out the soft spots of the zone, he's a guy that you can play at every spot at wide receiver. You can put him all over the field. He's going to get it figured out. He's going to be on the same page with your quarterback. He's got tremendous athletic ability. He can still run. You can hand the ball off to him, jet sweeps, whatever. However you want to put the ball in his hands, he's going to make things happen. And I think he's just so polished and so elite. I'm all over Jerry Jeudy at 12. But Adam brings up a good point. He might not even be there at 12, given how good he is.
Now, Miles, you and I had talked also, and I believe you and I were on the same page as going with CeeDee Lamb over Jerry Jeudy if you had the choice to pick the first wide receiver here in the draft. Why were you saying CeeDee Lamb before, and is he still your number 12 pick?
He is still my number 12 overall pick, and I really like the explosiveness when you watch him play. And, you know, look, there's not, to me, I don't think you can go wrong in many ways between Ruggs, Jeudy, and CeeDee Lamb. But for my taste, I don't know, I love watching him play. And I don't think that sometimes we should be seduced by things that happen without pads and with shorts going on. But I'm telling you, man, that catch he made at the combine, and this really, on normal circumstances, it would not mean anything to me. But when you saw the catch that he made on basically a fade route, he was going to the back right corner of the end zone. He made the catch, he got 2 feet in, he basically flipped. And I was like, my gosh, that's an explosive athlete. I just enjoy watching him play. You know, you watch his film, you watch him play with guys like Kyler Murray, you know, like Jalen Hurts. He just makes play after play after play. And really, you can say the same thing about Jerry Jeudy as well. And I'm, you know, Vinny's been going on about this on Twitter, how much you enjoy watching his film. And, you know, I feel the same way about that, but I don't know. There's just something that I can't, a certain je ne sais quoi that I just can't put my finger on. And it's got me on the CeeDee Lamb train. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I am on that train as well, just because of that physicality. There's that instinctiveness there that is so difficult to teach. And even though he may not have the same separation or the same speed as a Jerry Jeudy, just watching what he's able to do, I mean, he's a guy I feel like that rises to the challenge that's on the opposite side of him. And that's something, you know, when you look at the different players in the NFL that play the corner position, that'll be on coverage on this guy that'll have to make him play up to the level. I can't wait to kind of see how Sedarius, I'm gonna call him Sedarius because that's his real name, but his mama named him Sedarius, I'm gonna call him Sedarius, but anyway, with CeeDee Lamb, just how much that will grow in him, that competition that I've seen out of him, that how he rises up when he plays, is just something that I'm curious to see how he rises to the level in the NFL. So yeah, for me at 12, it would be CeeDee Lamb. Guys, did you have any other thoughts on the Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb debate, Adam or Vinny?
I don't think CeeDee Lamb is far behind Jerry Jeudy. I think it's very, very close matchup if you had to choose between the two. I would take Jeudy, but CeeDee Lamb, if that is the option, is a guy. I don't think he's the fastest guy in the draft. I don't think he has the best hands in the draft. I don't think he's the best run after catch guy in the draft. But I think if you line up all the receivers, he's like near the top in every single one of those categories. So I think that's the complete package that you're talking about, that he can do a little bit of everything and is not, you know, far behind anybody in any of those categories that's important for a wide receiver. So he's a really solid player. I think Judy has that top end explosiveness that might be a touch higher, but there's no, you know, there's no, CeeDee Lamb is not a consolation prize. He's right there with him.
All right, so let's move on to the 19 pick there. I was thinking when earlier on that the Raiders might go with a linebacker at the 19th spot, but the more I think about it, I'm starting to think that they head in the direction of cornerback with the 19th spot. But I want to hear from Adam first, who you have there for the Raiders at 19.
So I've had them taking linebacker in each of the first two mock drafts, but they have invested in free agency. So it's not exactly the highest priority anymore, I don't think. But here's what happens when you let the draft play out. I mean, there's many different ways that it can play out, but the way that my mock draft is going right now, you get to a spot at 19 where the top two corners are off the board. The third corner, which there's a little bit of a debate about who that would be. You know, Christian Fulton was there. He's kind of slipping in the process a little bit, but I still think he's a pretty high-end elite player. And then Trevon Diggs from Alabama, I really like him, and I think he's in the mix. And I was very close to making him the pick because they do need a corner, and I do believe that he's very talented. I just don't know if that's the right value at 19 when those guys are going lower. So if I'm at 19 and I'm the Raiders, I'm looking to trade down to try to get, maybe pick up a second round pick, something like that, or whatever you could get to move down a little bit, because I still think you could get one of those corners there. But if you're at 19, I still have them going linebacker just because I think that's the best value at that spot. Like I said, I had them taking Xavier McKinney, but now that you've got a safety in the mix and Demaryius Randall, I don't know that you go safety there. So while I think McKinney would be the best player on the board here, and that's where I would like to go, I just don't think that that's the need anymore. So I have them taking Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU, just because, like I said, I don't think the value is there to take a corner. So my suggestion would be to trade down and get a corner. But if you're at 19, I go Patrick Queen from LSU because he's a guy who I think can be a captain type player in your defense for the next decade, and just lock that position down. And certainly been a spot where the Raiders have had some trouble finding that type of guy. But again, they've spent some money there in free agency, so this becomes a pretty tough decision.
Interesting. I like that. I like that. Patrick Queen, LSU. Vinny, who are you going with at the 19?
Well, Adam, you know, brings up some compelling, ideas and thoughts, but I'm going to stick with Xavier McKinney and I'll tell you why. Between him and Demaryius Randall, both of these guys are really, really versatile. You could line up Xavier all over your defensive secondary, and he's going to get the job done. Same with Randall. You can, it wouldn't be the worst thing if he started the season at cornerback. He played 3 years at cornerback with the Green Bay Packers, did really well at that position. And when I look at the AFC West, and I see guys like Travis Kelce and Hunter Henry just destroying teams, especially Travis Kelce, and what the Kansas City Chiefs, do with all of their weapons. I want as many, players that can match up against a lot of those guys. And to me, McKinney is a guy that can take tight ends, not necessarily out of the game, but he's going to be able to deal with them. And I just think that he brings so much to the table with his versatility and his ability for you to use him as a chess piece. Defensively, that the value is just too great there at 19. I do like where Adam's thinking about potentially trading back, because I think you could still get Xavier in a trade back scenario and maybe pick up, like you said, a second round pick where maybe that's where you go back to cornerback. But if you have to stay at 19, I'm sticking with Xavier McKinney. I just think he's a fabulous player and fits perfectly.
Okay, Miles, who do you have for the Raiders with the number 19 pick in the 2020 NFL draft?
Yeah, you know, I like the picks from Adam and Vinny, but I would go with Kenneth Murray, which I guess, you know, I'm just sticking with Oklahoma guys. I don't even like Oklahoma football that much. But I just think that when you look at what Murray did, you know, as a staunch middle linebacker, and then you hear his story and you hear about the kind of person he is, I think he's the kind of person that you want to build, you would want to build around on defense. And, you know, this is nothing against Kwiatkowski, who has called signals before. You know, he has shown that he can do that in a spot starter role. I just think that if you're going to try to really transform your defense, you want somebody who is your alpha dog, your number one linebacker. And that's something that I really think that Murray can bring to the table. Look, he's been in that position basically his entire football life. He knows how to call signals. He's not going to be intimidated by coming in and telling veterans what to do. And I think that that is something that the Raiders could definitely use on defense to try to improve themselves. You get somebody who can get everybody lined up, who understands scheme and understands terminology and all those different things. He's got the high football IQ, does nothing but basically watch film and football during the season. This is somebody that I really think you can build your defense around. And that's why I would pick him at number 19 overall.
Well, I'm going to be very boring because that's who I had as well at 19 was Kenneth Murray. I mean,
Heidi, stop looking at my paper. All right.
I put my picks on a separate paper. So that but no, seriously, I just think that, yeah, I saw that the Raiders were already kind of looking at him as somebody that could fit pieces of the puzzle for them on defense. And I think just like you said, him being a good signal caller and somebody that the Raiders can grow around, it's something that they're going to need at linebacker. But I am actually still on the fence with this one just because there's like so many different cornerbacks as well. And when you look at how things just fell through with Eli Apple, it's something that I think the Raiders will definitely be considering. So maybe that'll be part of my 2.0 draft when we come back with this, because we're going to do this each week as we get to the draft. We'll try to keep it on Friday so that you guys know when to look forward to the mock drafts here on the podcast. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a really interesting draft for the Raiders with the 5 picks that they have in the top 100 as well. So Adam, I hope we can get you on every time to be able to talk about this, since you are doing that on the paper as well and online at vegasnation.com. So glad to have you today to bring up that. And I have to say, I was expecting Miles to throw some haterade or something on you at one point, but that didn't happen today.
No, just through text. That's all. That's the only time that happens. But I'll also say, I absolutely want to talk more because the Vikings could be presented with one of the most fascinating decisions I've ever seen in the draft.
Okay.
That in the industry is what we call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
big time tease. But let me tease some more stuff that we have here on Vegas Nation. Vinny, you wrote about Isaiah Johnson. That's up on the site. You can check that out. Miles, you're going to be writing about Tua from Alabama and the quarterback preview that we have going up as well. And we're doing a quarterback every week on the Vegas Nation site. So yeah, Miles, that's something I think a lot of people are going to be looking forward to, is that piece. And Adam, again, with the mock drafts. So everybody keep your eyes out for all of the stuff here. You can download the Vegas Nation app as well and catch us online at Vegas Nation and subscribe to the show while you're listening. We got all your fast takes and smart coverage here on the Vegas Nation podcast, presented to you on the Blue Wire Podcast Network and brought to you by STN Sports Mobile by Station Casinos. Make sure to follow all of us here on social media at Adam Hill, LVRJ, at Miles A. Simmons, at Vinny Bonsignor. I'm at Heidi Fang, and the show can be found at Vegas Nation. You'll have, again, your daily shows up to the draft, so we'll want to check back every afternoon for new content. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. We'll be back next week.